Rachel, thank you very much. Hello, everybody. We have this week, you know, as we talk in Weekly Inspiration using the Zohar, we have the portion that's called Vayakel Pekudeh. And we know that the word Vayakel comes from the word Ka'al. Ka'al means gathering of people, assembling of people. And the idea is to start to understand, when you understand reincarnation or you understand the souls, we are in it together all the time. There's nothing we can do about it. We're always in it together, which means many times, you know, parents are thinking that why is the children behave this way or another way? But what the parents got to do is to understand, okay, which part of what I'm doing affecting my children, or which part with whatever I'm doing affecting my wife, which part of the negative thing I'm doing affecting my husband. Okay, so everything is affecting everything, positive and negative. Now, unfortunately, negative behavior affecting each other, even your neighbor affecting you as you affecting your neighbor. So this week, we want to take charge. We want to take charge over the, what we call a negative behavior of ourselves, because that's affect the surrounding. Most of the time, what we're doing, we try to blame. We try to fall into, you know, victim.com kind of a mentality and blaming everybody about things that are not working. But if it's something not working in our life, instead of being just a victim, instead of falling into whatever negativity that seemed to be negative, is to start to looking into how bad am I affecting the surrounding. That's what's called Vayakel. Vayakel means kahal, okay, bunch of people together. And to start to get into a point like, am I affecting the universe in a better way, or am I destroying the universe with my negative thought, my negative words, and my negative behavior? A lot of people, not a lot of people, I think most people, if not all people, act negative in a negative way, in a hidden way, when nobody knows that they act negative. And they believe that nobody would know about it, you know? And it's true, nobody knows about it. It is true, it's a secret. You know, most of the crime or the sin that human beings are doing are secret. Secretly, I mean, nobody knows about it. But what the people don't know that they are affecting so many more people because of their negative behavior. So this week, more than any other week, be aware. Be aware that your existence affecting people. But don't be aware of the positive thing and kind of the ego, let the ego dance and say, oh my God, today I did so many good things and because of that I'm affecting so many people. That's a nice celebration. But more to be aware of, today I did what I did, I thought what I was thinking, I would talk what I was talking in a negative way, and that's why it's affecting, and get motivated for that. Don't get depressed, don't get fall down into a depression and oh my God, I'm such a negative person. Yes, be excited that you just discover you're a negative person. Be excited about that discovery. Because if you don't get excited about it, then it's an ego again, it's an ego trip. Some people say, I'm the worst. You are the worst, but why are you saying it with the depression face? You should say, I'm the worst. And get excited that you just discovered it. Don't get excited about that you are the worst. Get excited about the today that you discover that you are destroying people around you without knowing it. No kids, no daughter, no son, no wife, no husband, no neighbor will turn into negativity and will be in our surrounding if we absolutely act in the best way we can. If we act in the best way we can, we will draw people into our life that are positive. So if my surrounding is not as good as it's supposed to be, I got to look inside. Now, if it's not up to me to change my surrounding, then it's not in my control. If it's not in my control, I cannot change it. You can only change things that you believe it's in your control to change. And the one person you can change, one, only one, is me. I can't change you. I can't change people. I can't change my neighbor. I can't change my son. I can't change my daughter. I can't change my neighbors. I can't change me. And because I'm changing me, I run into a totally different surrender, surrounding. And then through that, I start meeting different people. So if you kind of meeting the wrong people every day, it's because there is something internally didn't change yet. And that's why I have to run into the same kahal, into the same type of people every day. Staying at home will not make it. Getting out of the house will not make it. So you cannot change your physical environment. You have to change something internally strong, something you know it's negative to be doing, and it has to start this week. If you want to make a decision about the change, you start this week. Nothing is more powerful than this week to affect the universe in a better way. And through that, you start meeting the right people, the right business people, the right romantic event. You know, people are running into a relationship and say, how come I end up with a negative person like that? Why would somebody so positive will run into somebody so negative? If you're running into somebody who's lonely and negative, that's when you are lonely and negative. You know, like attract like. Opposite don't attract as people think it is. It's not. Like attract like the laws of affinity, okay? So let's get a little bit to the Zohar. And the Zohar mentioned in verse 28 something very powerful. And when I'm going to read it, it will be a little scary, but important as well. Important as well. So the Zohar mentioned is there is people that meant to live a long life, but they die before their time. And if it's so, why? Now, it's shocking. Because some people, let's say, are supposed to be living till 86, and they will die when they're 68. Just coincidence. But there is no coincidence. It's a very serious thing that happened. So the Zohar in 28 go like that. And it says, say Rabbi Shimon write this paragraph, the person who wrote this book 2,000 years ago. He said, most people, they don't know how to protect themselves, might die before their time. Why? He say, ki b'sha'a shemotzi'im amet mibeto, lebet ha-kvarot, when they taking somebody who died from his house to the cemetery, nimtza malach amavet ben anashim. The angel of death is dancing around the women. Why around the women, right? Should dance with the men too. Lama nimtza ben anashim? Why among the women? Umishum shekach udarko, mishum shepita et chava. Because if we look at the serpent, the snake, the angel of death, same thing. So Eve in the beginning, and Adam and Eve, he seduced Eve to do whatever should not be doing, then since those days, he's still around Eve. משום כך דרכו שפיתה את חווה, ובשבילה גרם המוות לכל העולם. We know that what happened after the tree of knowledge, good and bad, that death, the whole idea of death took a place. Before that, death was not exist. And he continued. והמלאך המוות נכנס בין אנשים בדרך עד בית הקברות. So the angel of death, on the way to the cemetery, is basically dancing around and with the women. That's what the angel of death is doing. So the Zohar continue. V'yesh lo reshut. And he has a permission to kill people. He has a permission to kill people. Can you imagine? The angel of death, when people are basically going to bury someone, he's dancing around the women. And then he allowed to kill whoever he want in that area. It's scary, right? והוא מסתכל בפניהם, I'm reading words by words, by the way. והוא מסתכל בפניהם של הנערים לפניו, and he look at the people face, בדרך לבית הקברות, on the way to the burial, משעה שמוצאים המת מביתו לבית הקברות, עד שחוזרים לביתם. And the angel of death is there from the moment the person die, till he's going to the cemetery, till the burial, and on the way back to the house. This is a nightmare, right? So I was thinking today, should I share it? I mean, after all, it's live on the website, on Facebook, or whatever. So why do I want to scare people? I was thinking to myself, but I said, I think it's time for people to know. This is very serious business. This universe is not, we're not here alone. People think, I'm so lonely. You're never lonely. Let me tell you this. If you will reveal what's going on around you, you'll panic. You're never alone. Never will be alone. Nobody's ever alone. There's no such a thing as alone in this universe. And whatever you call alien, you know, people ask me if I can give lecture on alien. So people ask from the Midwest, they call, say, do me a favor, do, and eventually I will. But when you study about alien, there is seven creatures that live on this planet. So alien is not, according to Kabbalah and Zohar, they're not somebody who come from Mars or Venus. They are actually with us here. And one of them is the one who live in the desert with the nose, the one from the movie that you see with the eyes. The, one of them, one kind look like that. But there is another five. One of them is in the ocean. But they all live together with us. There is a party of 70 creatures. We are one of them. So the alien is not like jumping from Mars. Oh, you know, they're here. They're all here. Nobody's living. Okay? And so eventually I might do a lecture from the Zohar about that. So the angel of death is looking at the face of the people and he's dancing always around the women because of Eve. And he continue. And unfortunately, he will cause death at that day to people before their time. Ve'yesh nispa belo mishpat. There is a person who will die without a court, without spiritual court case. Because at that moment that the person is in the cemetery, he is going and take the file and he presents it to the mighty one, to God, to the angels. And he feels this is the time come for this gentleman to go. And then he starts pushing that that person will leave this physical universe. And because of that, that person will die before his time. So what is the advice here? Should we never go to a cemetery to bury? Because burial of an individual is considered one of the ultimate things you can do for a human being. Because they can never pay you. So in one way, that's the best thing you can do. You are helping a dead person to be buried, and then you cannot get anything. But at the same time, there is so much risk. And the Zohar continue. Ma tikun shelo? What is the correction to still do the good thing to help somebody to be buried and not to die? Nobody would go there and die. Nobody going to cemetery. It's very dangerous. Even going to hospital, by the way, because in hospital there is death. So he's there too. He's dancing. Wherever there is death, he's there. He's party. Okay? So look what he say, what he got to do. When a person is carried the death to the cemetery, a man, okay, should leave his face and leave the women that will be behind him. So if on the way to the burial, the woman is in front of him, that means the angel of death is dancing among them, but his face is turning. It's, again, it's not a physical thing, so you're not going to see anything. You're not going to see somebody dance or the tail or the horn or the fork, you know? It's not a physical thing. It's not a physical thing. It's just a force or entity that look at your face without even you know, Chas v'Shalom. It should never look at your face. V'im anashim makdimim ilech l'achoren. If the women went first, let's say sometimes they're going first. So it should go behind them, but it should not see their face to face. Never in the cemetery. Never look at the women's face in a cemetery. ואחר שחוזרים מבית הקברות, when they're coming back from the cemetery, he should never come back to his car or to his whatever it is in the same path where the women went. לא יסתכל בהם כלל, don't look at their face at all. And because people don't even know that, they've been judged and they think it's just a coincidence when they die before their time. Now most people who read that, a lot of time people become too religious and they think you shouldn't look at women because of sexual reason. That's not what the Zohar mentioned. It's very sad because some people take it in a fanatic way and they're missing the point. There is a technology. There is a basic way of how this universe operates. Once you know the rules of this universe, how it operates, your life becomes better. So it's not about religion. Oh, now we're going to be more religious. Because once you become more religious, mean that when you become fanatic, you're doing things you don't even know why you're doing them. But once you read and you get educated, I believe that everything can be solved with education. I'm a great believer of education. And when I see people doing the wrong thing, it's lack of education. Only lack of education. If there is war in the world, lack of education. If there is bloodshed, lack of education. If there is crime, lack of education. You've got to study. You got to give the kids to study. Your kids doing the wrong thing, lack of education. Make sure they study. There's enough books in the world now. Right? Everybody want to be a writer nowadays, but there is enough books. We didn't even finish to read the books from 1800. Right? And we are writing more books. But, you know, you got to read. This is 2,000 years old book. Read. Make your life better. Read. War. Why there is war? I visit the city with my wife and kids in Hebron. So I took a special tour with a guy who could take me to a place where it's kind of the forbidden area. You know? So he's a soldier, so he's happy. And soldiers sometimes get excited that he can take me to that. But I can read in Hebrew. It say, I'm Israeli. If you are Israeli and you pass from this border, we are not responsible for if you stay alive. So I tell the soldier, he's like so fanatic about war. Say, excuse me, I think the sign not happy with us coming here. Don't worry. I said, I'm worried. Why do you want to start a war right now? He said, don't worry. Everybody's relaxed. They went to dinner. And he's like extremely happy to show me what's going on in the other side, you know. And as a soldier, I served there, but you don't want to come, you know, you're a little bit older too. So I'm coming there and he showed me that people live in a mountain. No home. No home. People live in a cave. I said, what happened here? What's going on? He said, well, those people have no money. And those are the best people for war. They tell them if they go to war, they will benefit them, they will take care of them. It makes me so sad. Because they took advantage of people like just like that. The money that they buy the RPG and the gun and the grenade and all this, and you open a little school, start educate them for peace, for love, from young age, everything will be okay. What does it take? 20 years. 20 years you can fix the whole problem. 20 years. I thought it was about religious war. Until I went there, it was about money. It bothered me so much. Everybody keep everything about money. And you don't benefit from the money. You have $2 billion. You don't even enjoy that area. Nothing. You don't enjoy it. So get $1 billion, donate it for school, educate people, make them a better life. Everybody will be happy. That's what the angel of death doing to everybody. Make you fanatic. Make you go to war. Make you kill each other. Stupid. Stupid for what? For what? For what are we getting from it? Nothing. And I'm not trying to sound fanatic or religious or politician. I'm just saying it's a shame. So again, people die just by doing the right thing, by burying somebody. So the son of Rabbi Shimon said to his fathers, maybe it's better not to go bury anybody. You know, he's right, logical. So his father saying, no, it should be go bury someone because it's the highest level of sharing you can do, but you have to do what I told you to do. I mean, don't look as a man, don't look to the women's face. Now, you know why a lot of men wearing those black sunglasses, many people think it's a fashionable thing. That's not fashionable. The purpose was to remind himself not to look at the eyes of a woman when you go, to look down. Those of you ever went with me when I bury people, unfortunately, in my profession, we give birth to baby, we do wedding, but we also bury as part of the job. So we don't look up, we look down. Because if we look at the women's face, yeah, that's it. You got 50-50 chance. So why is it important to know that? Because going back to the first subject I start with, we are affecting everything. Everybody affecting everything. There is no such a thing that you are on your own. So if you think you can make a hole in the boat that you are in the middle of the ocean, and you have six people with you, everybody's going down. If in your place of work, you or another person do a damage, it's damage everybody. There's no such a thing that you can do the damage on your own. We are affecting people, and they're affecting us. We are in it together. I study now, because I'm preparing for the website, a lot of content on reincarnation. And I have to tell you, I'm so fascinated with the, as much as I studied this book many, many times. Sometimes when you study a book many, many times, you think you know it, and then you read it again and say, wow, I didn't see that. And it shows you that we all interconnected with each other. There's nothing we can do. From a reincarnation point of view, we're all in it together. And if you live in the same city with people, there is a reason. If you are doing, it's all one. We are all one. We're always going to be one. So the people you didn't get along with and you cannot forgive to are coming with you next lifetime. You want to finish the karma with the person. You want to forgive. You want to move on. Because the one you didn't forgive come with you. That's your new wife or new husband. Get used to it. That's who you're married to next lifetime. Be careful. It doesn't mean who you're married to, it's somebody who had the issue with another life. But I'm saying you carry with you people that you had a difficult time to forgive or a difficult time to be with. They're coming because you got to finish that karma. It's a tikkun. You got to finish it. So what I studied today, that there is something called roots of the soul. And the idea of the roots of the soul, meaning that there is 10 people that are in charge of one soul. So if you work on that area of that soul, 9 people want to support you. 9 souls are waiting for you to do the right thing. In the moment you get angry, those 9 people are leaving you. They can't help you anymore. I said, only anger? That's it? Want anger. I was shocked. I mean, how many of us get angry every day? We all get angry. It's a disaster. Anger. Anger, right? All of us can join anger management now, right? It's scary. But the idea is to tell you, like, those souls waiting for us to change, and then they will come and slowly, slowly guide you. But if we are not changing internally, something tough for us to change, it's not going to happen. So I just want to mention it because, again, it excites me to know how much we can affect each other. You have any question on that? Something you want to ask? Yes? Yes, please.
Those 9 souls are from your past life?
No, they are connecting to the roots of this soul. It's called Shoresh. Shoresh means we're all coming from a certain part. So let's say in your group can be 1,000. Somebody else's group, there is 5. It's a group. It's a group of souls. We come as a group of souls. Those group of souls, let's say 9 of them made it and you didn't make it. So they want to support you. So they only can come 3 at a time. So when they come, there is the highest one and the lowest one. So let's say you try to fix things, and then you get angry because nothing gets better. Once you get better, they push themselves away, and then they're coming back in the moment that you start doing things. So it's not a reincarnation. It's a soul that comes to support you. It's a very beautiful concept if you think about it. It's a beautiful concept. It's like Ibu, similar to Ibu. Yes, very much, very much. But it's again, I mean, if you think about it, how exciting it is that we're not alone. It's exciting. But it's scary, how bad. It's when a person gets angry or when a person has a very bad disease, like sickness that almost killed them, then they leave. And you should think, like, why would they leave if a person is sick? Because a sickness, when it's a terrible sickness, may God protect us all, that means that at that moment, that person as crack, an opening for the dark side to come in. The dark side will not come in to the body. It doesn't mean we should judge the people who are sick. That's not our business to judge. Our business is to know, but not to judge. Okay? But just to let you know, when a person gets very sick, or when a person gets very angry, at that point is vulnerable, and the soul is going to very low level. Very low level. So that's why when you visit people who are sick, usually you stand on the side of their bed and you shake their hand and you basically meditate to give them back part of their soul. Most people who go visit sick people, they think it's just visiting for the manners or it's nice. It's a very serious event. To go visit somebody sick, it's a serious event. But you cannot be in their feet or in their head. The feet is where the angel of death is sitting. And their head is where the spirit of God invite them to come out of the body. So both places you don't want to be because you don't want to mix with that. So when you go visit somebody who's sick, always in the side, in the stomach, you know. Hold their hand, okay? And you can say Ya'av li yadecha if you want, but if you don't remember, it's okay. Yes, you want to ask something?
Yeah, I do have a question.
Huh?
A two-part question.
Yeah.
Question number one is, when somebody has a feeling of loneliness, when you die, you feel loneliness. Does that mean those souls left? That means your ego is going through something. You know when some people say, I feel lonely or whatever?
I can't answer it because it's individual for each person. So what is loneliness? It's relative.
Sure. And part two is like, if somebody was to be angry.
Anger is the most dangerous thing.
Do you avoid them? Not look at them? Like, what do you
No, mean? Anger, you cannot look at people with anger. It's not them anymore. It's not them. It's somebody took over. Somebody who get angry, like more than anger. I'm not talking about anger like I didn't get the pizza. I'm talking about anger that the person losing it. I don't know if you ever saw somebody who angry, like they basically, what do you say, fume or scream or throw things, like losing it. I think it's not anger. It would be like more
rage.
Rage would be a better word for that. Thank you. Rage. I think we should call it rage. Because this is what it is, it's rage. It's rage, they're losing it. At that moment, the soul, so it's very dangerous. But how much they affect their surrounding, you know, they affect everybody around them. So if somebody in the office, let's say, starts screaming and yelling, okay, screaming and yelling, not only affect the, it's a yucky feeling, right? But it's more than a yucky feeling. It's actually something truly happened, you know? Something truly happened to the people in the office. Everybody, unfortunately, get affected by that. Got to be careful with that. Anger is, people who don't know what they're doing, better stay away. Also, with people who get sick, don't visit somebody who's sick if you don't know what you're doing. Got to do the meditation, know the letters that you go. It's not just, I'm going to visit somebody sick. Why? So people say how great you are. It's all ego trip. You should visit because you want to help them. But if you don't know how to help them, you're not adding anything. You actually destroy them and you destroy you. So most people think, okay, I'm going to visit a sick person. You need to know what you're doing. Call me, I give you the letters, you know, or call Debbie.
And you said something last time, sorry. You said something about we all get angry. That's normal. Everybody gets angry, right?
Of course, of course.
You can't channel your own anger. When you're in the middle of it, you're angry.
Yeah.
Channel
you just don't hit people. Don't throw things on people and don't yell that you cannot control the yell itself. You know, I don't know if you ever saw somebody really get angry. They start yelling, but it's like scream that never end. They look crazy. What is that? You know, yell to scare me, that's normal. Hey, be careful what I'm going to do to you. You know, okay, that's the show business, a little bit to scare you. But when it's, I don't even know why I'm doing it, that's iffy already. Always remember, angry person, first words are right, second words don't make sense. Remember the rules. Whatever they fight for, the first sentence always makes sense. Second sentence don't make sense at all. Why? Because the sentence, it's not even them. It's no longer them. The first verse, it's them. So it's very important to remember that. Anyway, let's go to the next subject, and talking about death, let's continue with the same subject, yeah? Yeah. If we talk about death, we need to talk about resurrection. Now, what is resurrection? Because of religion, many people get the wrong idea of resurrection. If you're Christian, you think resurrection of Jesus. If you're Jewish, you think resurrection of the people. If you are Muslim, you might think about Muhammad. If you are a Hindu, you might think about that Buddha never died. You know, everybody translated it into their own way. So I would like to read from a section that was written 2,000 years ago, and then you take it in your own way, whatever you think it is, okay? All right. So it says, all people in the day of resurrection of the dead, יתרפו בעצמם. They will get cure by themselves. And then they will be resurrected. And some of them will not. Now what is that resurrection business? There is three levels before the end of the illusion. We are living in illusionary universe. You got to remember that. Our universe, this physical universe, is all an illusion. Nothing is real as much as it looks real. It's fake. This whole thing is fake. We're working, making money, buying a better spot in the cemetery, right? This is as far as it ends. That's the end. That's the end story. Okay? And the beginning story is a baby that born crying. Death. So if you make the time shorter, like you remove time, and you see born, death, what in between, how important it is. Some people drive a Ferrari, the other one has a private jet, the one person has a bicycle. Right? That's it. One, the tombstone is made of beautiful marble black, or, and the other one is a little, you know, cross from woods on their grave. Okay? That's a big difference. I'm trying to make it simple. What is a resurrection of the death? There is a time when all chaos, whatever has end in it, E-N-D, everything with end, everything with finite, everything that has no continuation has to end. Right now, the universe is operate from a place of everything that starts as an end. Business as an end, health as an end, money as an end. Everything in the brain of a human being, we think beginning and end. You're going to lunch. Are you there to stay forever? No. How long it's going to take? Right? How long it's going to take? You need to know. 2 hours, 1 hour. You need to know where it ends. When am I getting my money? That's called the end. We are relating to the end because we live in a universe of death. This universe is the universe of death. That's where people are dying. That's it. That's how it works, unfortunately. That's how it works. It works beginning and end. Some people become kind of in denial that they will die. Some people depressed and they know they're going to die. So both of them are unbalanced. What is the resurrection of the death? The Zohar, the Bible, is talking about the end of time. What will be so special about the end of time? That it will be people that will never die. That's called one type of resurrection of the dead. And second resurrection of the dead will be people that die but will be resurrected from the grave. Kind of scary if you think about it. Almost like the movie Beat It from Michael Jackson, right? So it says who will be resurrected and who will not. And look what it says. Me'em lo yakumu letchiyah. Who is the people who will not be resurrected? Da'ainu otam shelo yiminu betchiyat amitim. The one who don't believe that resurrection is possible will stay in the grave. Now, how is a person resurrected? I mean, after all, it's a skull, it's a bones. There's nothing there. How is from that thing jumping a person out of the grave? And here come a point which is very important. When you think of yourself, who are you? What do you think of yourself? You think about your six pack? You think about your beautiful nose? You think you have a nice hair? What do you think of yourself? Most of us are so related to the physical body. We don't think of me as me. We think of me as the cover. We forget who we are. We forget the original. So if you tell people that they will be resurrected after they die, they think you're crazy or stupid. But what does it say here? The one who believes it's possible, it will happen to them. The one who does not believe it's possible, it will not happen to them. The lesson here is great about life. Whatever you believe it's possible, or whatever you don't believe it's possible, you're both right. And it's with everything. It's not just with resurrection. Do you believe your life can get better, or you believe your life can never get better? You're both right. Do you believe your relationship can get better, or it will never get better? You're both right. Do you believe that you overcome the problem you're going through, or you're not going to be overcome the problem? You're both right. So who's right? Whoever believe in whatever they believe, that's the right thing to believe. There is no such a thing as this is the way. You are creating your own life. Resurrection of the dead is not just jumping out of the grave. It's the question, are you alive? Are you truly alive? Or you've been programmed to go after your little addiction? You don't even have control when you see food or drugs or sex. You don't even have control over that. If you cannot even control yourself, you're dead. You're not alive. Can you say no to something that you usually say no, yes to? Can you say no to the anger that bury you and get out of that anger? Can you say no to your little addiction? When I was teaching in many places, different spirituality or Kabbalah, places like rehab. And when you go to rehab places, there is something sad there and something fascinating. The sad part is the pain people go through. The pain is so deep because the human beings start to realize, I can't overcome it. I'm stuck. And there's nothing more painful to look inside of yourself and say, there's no hope. Now you have two choices, yes or no, at that moment. You can choose, here or there. The yes, I'm going to make it, but I'm going to go to sad time and pain. The left, I can never make it, but let me celebrate. Because anyway, there is no hope for me. Most people take the left. You know what the percent of people who are making it in a rehab? Maximum 8%. Normal 2.5%. It's good business, right? They're coming back in, and they pay money, and they pay money. It's the number one business in the United States or all over the world right now. And I'm not trying to make the business here about the business, but it's about how sad it is. How sad that you cannot overcome food, you cannot overcome alcohol, you cannot overcome sex, you cannot overcome. So you're not alive, you're dead already. When is your resurrection will happen? Where is your, you know, you want to know when your resurrection will happen? When you believe it can happen. It can only happen if you believe it happens. So when it say here, the one who believes in resurrection will be resurrected, and the one who's not will not be resurrected. It's not up to God. It's up to you. It's up to you and you alone. I once trained people. It was a corporation, and the boss asked me to train them to sell better, to talk better to people, and all this and that. So it was five, you know, every corporation has five that make it no matter what. 20 that make it sometimes yes, sometimes not. And the rest, who's tired, they don't know what even they're doing there. So the boss asked me, what do we do? Well, it's not good. I don't want just five to make it. I want the 50 worker to be like the five. So we start doing session. And we ask the five people, what's your secret? And they didn't say anything special. Everybody will say, I do the same. I go according to the paper, I go this, I go that. Exactly what the boss told us, we do. They're all talented. They all speak English perfectly. They all have great vocabulary. They all have jokes, books with jokes next to them. So they need to tell a joke to the customer. They know how to flip and do this. Big operation. So what's the secret? Couldn't find out the secret. So it took us about 5 weeks to dig into the brain to know what they're doing. When they pick up the phone, that's what eventually they told us. For them, it's come naturally because I asked them, so what are you thinking? What's here? What do you think? So well, when I pick up the phone, I said to him, do you have doubts? I said, yes, I feel I have doubts, I have that. But they know that today it's going to happen. They know. They don't believe. They know. They're going with the, I know it's going to believe. Because I'm desperate to do that. Desperate to do that. If you know that you're capable of that, then Tchiyat Habitim is part of your life. If you don't know you're capable of that, then don't expect things to happen. Things can only happen once you know it's possible. Things cannot happen when you don't think it's possible. Knowing that it's possible, knowing that you're going to make it, knowing that you are the one who basically make the transformation, that's the Tchiyat Hametim. That's the resurrection of the dead. So when we ask people why they're making it, it's not because they're blessed or they have something special. Nothing to do with this. It's about they believe that that's going to happen to them. If you don't believe, you will be healthy. If you don't believe that you can make that money, if you don't believe that you can do whatever that you want to believe you can do it, then why expect things to change in your life? If you don't believe the love that's supposed to come into your life, why do you expect people to love you? Things will not happen to you more than your belief system allows you to believe. Things will only happen to you as much as you allow to believe. And that's what the Zohar in 94 is telling us. That basically, we need to know that every step that happening with a person who leaves this world physically, happening also in a person who is living in this world. And when we talk about tshuva, tshuva means repentance, tshuva means transformation, change. The main transformation a human being needs to do is to know 100%, 100% with certainty, to say to themselves, I know I can make it. So the next business deal that you pick up the phone to call to, or the next relationship you're getting involved with, or the next of whatever it is, ask yourself a question. Do you truly believe that you can do it? If the answer is no, then do not have an expectation of something to happen in your life. Because nothing will happen in a human life until the person themselves believe in that. And that's what the Zohar say again. The people who cannot believe it's possible, it will not happen. It's nothing to do with, I wish. People use the word, I wish I will have a better life. Keep wishing. You get nothing happening in your life. Keep wishing. You know how many of those workers, instead of those 5 salespeople, wish to make more money at that day? All of them are wishing. They're all wishing. Get 0 result. But the one with the 5 people who pick up the phone and make meetings and go in there, they're not going there. They go there to make something happen. You know, in the old days, I don't know if you remember, at the airport, they didn't used to check everything like that. I don't know if you remember. I'm thinking how to tell the story. It sounds like a little ego trip. It will sound like an ego trip. I cannot do nothing about it. So I went to take the few guys to take the RAV into the airport. It was then TWA, if you remember that company. So in New York, so Kennedy. So as I'm getting to the airport, I took the RAV all the way to the airplane. The Rav looked at me, how did you get in? I say, what do you mean, huh? I want to take you in, I want to escort you all the way to the plane. I say, but do you have a badge? Do you have some? How did you get out of the entry? So the Rav said something to me, it was very, very funny. He said, you didn't even know that it's not allowed, and for you it was okay that it is allowed, and that's why you didn't even have uncertainty about it, and that's, nobody even saw you, and it is true. And it, the first time it happened to me, it was in New York City. I was new, I was fresh from Israel. And I went to, what they call that biggest insurance company? Life insurance?
MetLife.
MetLife? Is it the big building in New York?
MetLife. The old Pan Am building?
Yeah. No, it's not Pan Am building. I forgot. I think it's called Life. There is an insurance company called Life? Is it possible? MetLife maybe?
MetLife and Travelers.
Okay. So I went there, and it's a big building, and I'm going inside, and I said, you know what, that will be a great way to talk to people about spirituality. So I'm going office to office, you know, and the guard, there is heavy guarded. So, and I hear, you hear from everyone that they're looking for a guy with a yarmulke with a long brown coat. So like in the movie, I'm talking about like 27 years ago, I was taking the brown coat and I take it inside out and I hold it like that and I go from office to office. Then I'm sitting with a guy and talk to me about spirituality. They said, did you see a guy with a yarmulke? And they look at me with a brown coat. And the guy said, no, I didn't see it. And they go and they pass by. In the end, after 2.5 hours, they're chasing me. I'm meeting them downstairs. And they say, here he is. You know, everybody with the gun. You know, take me to the special office. Say, we found him. And how did you get in? What exactly, what code are you using? What it is that? Do you show us the card? So when I met the Rav after that event, the Rav said to me, you did one mistake. When they ask you, how did you get in? You should look at one of them and say, I think it was you who let me in. So, you know, what I'm trying to say with those stories, I'm sure it happened to most of you, is there is a moment in your life when you know that this is happening. And when you know it, this is happening, then things are working. Let me just take you to another section, and then we do a short meditation, and then we take it to the next level, okay? All right. It say, when is this all chaos? That's when is this all negativity will end? And it say, there is a time that called Gmar Atikun. Gmar HaTikun mean when it will be no more negativity. So it say when the snake and the angel of death will no longer be around us. That time, Besod Bila HaMavet LaNetzach, swallow the death forever. He used the word swallow. Bila mean to swallow. V'as tiyeh tchiyat habetim. And then everybody will be resurrected. Now the question is, we know that the body itself, the body consciousness comes from the snake. How can you tell me that the resurrection will take a place when the snake disappears? Because when the snake disappears, there's no existence to the body. So how can that be? And he continue, and they explain that the death took a place from a place called Tree of Knowledge. What is tree of knowledge? Good and bad. Getting confused between good and bad all day long. Whatever seems good has bad in it. Whatever seems bad has good in it. Everything in our universe operates in that way. We are a mix of good and bad. Whenever you think something goes well, there is something negative with it. Whenever you think something goes negative, there's something good with it. So, what can we learn from that? It say that the time that you are capable of changing is the time that whatever you desire, you don't desire it for you, you desire it because you know that it's giving pleasure for this universe to give it to you. That's the change, the beginning. And what he say? He say, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Bazman ha'u, Sheitoraru metei olam, Vizdamnu be'eretz ha'kedusha, Yakumu machanot machanot, Kulam al eretz ha'galil. Where is the beginning of the spiritual awakening will take a place? In a place called the Galilee. I don't know if you've ever been in the Galilee. It's a north part of Israel, if you know. Why is it called Galilee? From the word legalot, the discovery. It will be the beginning of the discovery. Because legalot means to discover or to awake or to reveal. Galil means to reveal. So that's what Galil means, the Galilee. Mishum shesham atid melech ha-mashiach litgalot. Because the Messiah, whatever the Messiah is for you, but Messiah is a consciousness of everybody unity together, will be revealed there, because that's the used to be the portion of Joseph the righteous, and there was the beginning of the negativity, because all the slavery start from there. So when we talk about Galilee, and hopefully you join us this year, we're going in June to Israel, I think the end of June, hopefully you join us for a spiritual trip, and the idea with that we're going there to different burial site is because that those people are alive, but we are not ready for them to wake up. So when you touch the stone, when you go to those tombstone, 2,000 years old. Abba Chalafta, for example, 2,000 years old. Rabbi Hanania ben Akasha, 2,000 years old. Rabbi Shimon, 2,000 years old. Then we have other places, 4,000 years old. They're all waiting for us to get it. To get it. To get what? What is that we're not getting? We don't get it that our selfish behavior is our new boss. We think when we act selfishly, we choose to act selfishly. According to this, we don't choose to act selfishly. It's not up to me if I want to be selfish or not. It's not up to me. The whole idea of selfishness, according to the Zohar of this week, the whole idea of selfishness is absolutely come from the dark side, forcing me to act in a selfish way. So when I want to choose to give, that's a strong behavior, that's a choice. When I'm chased by basically negative force, and I'm choosing just to think about me, I'm destroying myself without even knowing. So when is the Zohar right? Bizman she'itoreru mete olam. When all the people that died will wake up, will start in the Galil, will start in the Galilee, in the northern part, north of the Galileo Sea, right in that area. When that will start, just imagine why there. If you look at the map, where most of the righteous people are buried, in the Galilee. They're all waiting because they knew. They knew that the end of chaos will start from there. They knew that positive things will begin there, not in any other place. And through that, if we have that understanding, everything starts to change. So what I want you to get from this week, as we start with Vayakhel, is to understand we're affecting each other. There's nothing we can do about it. We're affecting each other. But what we can do about it is affect each other in a positive way. Second thing, this week is a great week to change. Great week to choose one thing you want to let go. One thing of your negative behavior that got to go. So write it down, this one thing that you got to let it go. One secret addiction you have that nobody know about it, let it go. Remember, it's a very important thing to do this week. It can change your entire life. Third thing we study is about cemetery or hospital, how to bury a person, how to visit somebody to understand that there is an angel of death out there. And unfortunately, if you don't know what you're doing, it can affect your life in a very dangerous way. Fourth thing we study today is the idea of resurrection of the death is not just resurrection of a body that's been buried, it's a resurrection of me. And if I believe I can make it, then I can make it. The one who can believe that they can make it, not going to make it, not because they've been punished, because they don't have the true essence of belief to really see that they can make it. And the last thing is to understand that Eretz HaGalil, the Galilee, from the Galilee everything will be revealed, everything will start. Now, why Galilee? Why Rabbi Shimon say the Galilee? Because from the word Gilui, Gilui means discovery or revealment. And the idea that in your life, everything is already perfect. You just have to discover it. Remove the cover. This cover, right? Remove the cover. There is a cover. Once you remove the cover, it's all there. When you approach your business, your relationship, everything you approach in your life, approach it like it's already perfectly there. You just need legalot. You just need to discover it. And with that, you know, every step of the way will be amazing. We have a few questions. Yes, please.
Question and answer another question. What is the difference between resurrection and reincarnation? And like, you know, I think
reincarnation, the person has to die. And then the soul is traveling to a different body. Resurrection is the same body that the person died in, is the body that's been resurrected.
If we have if we believe and we have a reincarnation, why we need to believe in resurrection?
Because not every person making it. Remember, if the person don't believe in resurrection, they will never make it. For example, if the soul shares three bodies, which body will be resurrected? Which one of them? You know, so the best one that did the best choices is the one who will be resurrected, not the other two. Sorry. So sometimes You know, there is a rabbi by the name of Rav Sheshet. You know, and Rav Sheshet was a reincarnation of Baba Ben Buta. It's a name. It doesn't matter to go to details. So Sheshet knew that he only here to fix 20% of what Baba did. So he knew that by him doing perfect job, he still would not have the benefit because his soul belonged to Baba. He's just there to complete a little piece that Baba didn't do. So then next lifetime, he joined Baba to be resurrected. But his body that he carried, he knew that body will never make it. Not because he's not good, because his main part of the soul belonged to the other one. Yeah. But it's beautiful how we need to work together. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? Well, thank you. Thank you.